Oh well, I guess this one isn't getting recorded. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever found yourself wondering just what the point of worship is? We come together once a week to sing hymns, to confess our sins, to hear God's word, to receive the sacrament, and then we leave at the end to return to our lives. Why come? Surely there's more to our worship, more to this divine service, than just the good gifts of God that we receive during this hour or hour and 5 minutes. There has to be a reason for us to come here and for which we encourage worship attendance so strongly. An answer to that question, I think, comes in our Old Testament reading today from Isaiah chapter 66. Now, Isaiah 66, much of Isaiah is focused towards the people of Israel and of Judah, God's chosen people, the descendants of Abraham through Isaac by means of Jacob. God through Isaiah gives warnings about the coming fall and destruction of Israel, and then just less than a century later of Judah. During Isaiah's lifetime, in fact, Israel is taken away into exile, and Judah is invaded and nearly taken entirely. Isaiah urges the people of Israel and Judah to return to the Lord, to be faithful to him, to give up and put away all of their idols that they have been worshiping and focusing on, to be faithful to the Lord alone, encouraging the faithful kings who would follow God, warning the corrupt and idolatrous kings to turn away, comforting in the, and then at the end, starting around chapter 40 or so, comfort for the people of Israel who are going to be sent into exile. Comfort, comfort my people, speak peace to, says your God, is what Isaiah says to those who will, in their lifetime, see the destruction of Jerusalem. But there's a thread running through Isaiah all from beginning to end that hints that the message is not just for Israel and for Judah, that this is for all people, for all nations to hear. Isaiah's message is for Israel and Judah, but it isn't just for Israel and Judah, for God's chosen people. The people living in darkness see a great light, he writes. All the nations will flock to the holy mountain. Once Israel and Judah have been pruned, they will stand as a flagstaff on the mountains for the nations to see and to approach. Isaiah 30, verse 17, he gives a warning about the coming exile and captivity, and yet at the same time, hope. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, at the threat of 5 you shall flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. A signal for whom? The people of the nations, Isaiah says later, will grab hold of the Israelites and will follow them back to Jerusalem, to God's holy mountain of Zion. Israel is, in fact, God's chosen people, Isaiah assures them, but they are not going to be the only people coming to the mountain. And here in the last chapter of his book, in chapter 66, Isaiah doubles down on this idea and concludes with God's plan for all nations. In verse 18, he says, I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them. God says he is going to gather all nations, all tongues to himself. The nations, that's the people outside of Israel, the Gentiles, as we would say it, they will see God's glory and come to praise him. How? How will they come? They'll come because they see God's people and they will follow them. The nations would grab hold of the Israelites' robes and beg to follow after them, to join them at the mountain. And this is something that we see fulfilled in part on Pentecost, when all nations and tongues are present in Jerusalem for the festival, and God uses the disciples to speak in all of their languages so that all people can hear the gospel. God brought people together and he gives them the message. And in verse 19, I will set a sign among them. God's sign here, what is it? What's the sign that brought you into God's people? The sign of the cross, that flagstaff that is set up for all nations to see. God shows himself to the nations when he places his son like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain just outside of Jerusalem, the signal for all nations to see, calling all nations to himself, gathering all peoples together to worship him. And even today, God continues to gather all people to himself. We have been ourselves brought together here by the Holy Spirit. We have been gathered here to around the sign of the cross to worship and to receive God's blessings. However, God doesn't gather us together to stay in his presence without leaving, or at least not yet. God has a purpose for bringing us together here, and his plan in bringing Israel back together and gathering the nations to his mountain, it isn't for them to sit and stay in Jerusalem. No, coming to God's holy mountain, it is a good thing. It is at God's holy mountain that the feast is prepared for all nations, as Isaiah sees in chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food. It is a good thing to gather in God's presence, but it is not the be-all, end-all, just gathering together. From them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish and Pul and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands far away, that have not heard my fame or seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, says the Lord, just as the Israelites bring their offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. In coming to God, all people hear and learn his power in order to be then sent out. Those who have heard of God's glory and fame, they will tell of it to all the nations around. They can't help but tell of God's glory to all of the nations around. This message, it's not something to be kept quiet or that can be kept quiet. It's something to be shared with all people. And amazingly, when you look through the list, the nations that that Isaiah lists here are not the ones that are close by to Israel. Tarshish especially, we know, is far away. That's where Paul was from, where Jonah fled to on the other side of the sea, probably ancient Greece or beyond. And so it isn't just the people who have lived with and heard the message. It's the nations far away that haven't ever heard of the Lord. These are the mission field for God's people to be sent to and to bring back. And as the nations flock to the holy mountain, they will bring even more people with them, the people of Israel who have been scattered away. And this is God's purpose for us as well in our worship. In this context, we can put ourselves in the place of the Israelites, those who have received the message and come together in God's church. We have been gathered together here by the Holy Spirit. We are fed with the rich feast that he prepares in word and in sacrament. We have witnessed his greatest miracle in the cross, have heard his teaching. And so, now what? God's intent isn't for that message to be just today, for us to hold that message in. The intent isn't to simply receive the message, receive the gifts in worship on Sunday, and then not let it come to mind anymore during the week. How easy it is to listen to the sermon, to hear the readings, to receive the sacraments, and then just not think about it anymore for the rest of the week. How easy it is to assume that we are only here for ourselves. No, God's intent is for us to share what we have heard, share what we have seen with those who haven't yet heard and received the message. You are those who have received God's message. You are those who are sent out to share that message with those near and far, all of those that God puts in your path who haven't yet heard the message. Now, not everyone will hear and accept the message, but those who do receive it will come to God. Now, there's a question that often comes up of who is welcome in God's church, or who is welcome in God's presence, or in church, or in heaven. Is it Israel? Yes. Is it God's people in the church? Yes. Is it those who have rejected him in the past and who receive the message again? Yes. Is it those who have received the message but fallen away? Also yes. God's call is for everyone. Everyone through faith can come to him and be saved. Even those who have been reticent or recalcitrant in the past may yet hear the message once again and repent. It doesn't matter if someone was baptized as an infant and hasn't darkened the doorstep of the church anymore. God's call remains. They are yet welcome to hear and believe and come. It doesn't matter if someone has never heard of Jesus before, as shocking as that sounds in 21st century America. But God continues to invite them to hear and to believe through our words. It doesn't matter what one has done in the past. God offers pardon and forgiveness for all your sins. All flesh is welcome, as Isaiah says, from new moon to new moon, from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. This means that everyone is welcome, regardless of their lineage, their nationality, their language. All people come and worship God. And in fact, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul describes this scene of every tongue confessing and every knee bowing before God. So then, why do we come here for worship every week? Because God gathers us together as his people, drawn from all the ends of the earth to worship in his presence and to receive the gifts that he has prepared for us. because God sends us out from here as his mouthpieces, his hands, his feet, to speak his message to people who need to hear it. And God uses us to share that message so that more people can hear and believe and gather and rejoice in his presence eternally. That is the promise that God makes. He will bring all people to himself, and he will not forget about his people. And that worship in his presence eternally will never end. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God.